This is Logan Sekulow. The NYPD does their job well and arrests more than 100 anti-Israel protesters at Columbia.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Let's do this right. It is a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? No, it's a Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
I did it
today.
Wrong right up front. It's a Wednesday. You know why I thought it was Tuesday? Because the next guest we have on in our next segment is Tulsi Gabbard. Her book just came out yesterday. That's what I was thinking. This book came out Tuesday. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. We're going to have her on in the next segment. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a really excellent interview. Usually we spend time with her talking about current events, what's happening around the world. This, we're going to dive into her book later on in the broadcast. We'll be joined by Mike Pompeo. So completely different point of view, another team member of the ACLJ. Then we're going to wrap it up later on, headed to our office in Jerusalem with Jeff Balaban. So it's going to be a packed show. And first and foremost, I want to say for all of you who watched yesterday, a big, gigantic thank you. We announced a new project that I'm working on that was 12 hours in the making when we announced it. And it was called For the Love of God, Save Our Country. It's going to be coming out at Halloween this year, 5 days before the general election. We're going to take a little break from telling you too much about it because now we go to hard work. Because guess what? We had a goal. And I said that goal that I felt that number was impressed on me was $500,000, which is an amazing goal, a very difficult goal to reach. And we're in the middle of a matching challenge. So, you know, the goal would be $250,000 and get $250,000 matched. Well, I will tell you where we ended up at last night. We ended up pre-match, so just in individual donations, $434,000 in donations. That means $864,000 that came in, not only for that project, but really lit a fire. One of the biggest end of our, you know, matching months that we have had in for the month of April, the biggest day we've had in years. So it resonated with you, and clearly it resonated with me. So I wanted to say, first and foremost, just a gigantic thank you to all of you. Founding producers are going to have your names emblazoned on that special event that we're going to be releasing again this fall. So look forward to that. It really encouraged me that you guys care about this kind of topic as much as I do. And we're going to break that down. But we did want to kick off also and talk about what's happening in the protest, Will, because we saw the NYPD maybe do what they've been waiting to do for the last decade,
right,
maybe the last 5 years, since they feel like they haven't been able to do it. Now they're able to actually go and do their jobs as the boys in blue have always been able to do, but sadly for the last few years have been kept in inability to do it. Now they're going to take an action.
And Mayor Adams had very strong language today about the outside agitators, even saying even if there are students, it doesn't necessarily mean the rot that comes from those outside agitators wasn't infecting these protests and encampments or whatever you want to call them on the campus. And he's very concerned about it radicalizing the young people of America. As a matter of fact, they had replaced an American flag on campus with a Palestinian flag. The police last night tore down the Palestinian flag and raised an American flag in its place. It almost called back the imagery of George W. Bush at Ground Zero after 9/11, where they raised the American flag amongst the rubble. It was a very patriotic feeling moment, but the police also did it without incident, really. Like, there wasn't mass fighting. There wasn't mass what they would then try to claim as police brutality. They were able to be very efficient, organized. They got to bring out what appeared to be a new truck that loaded people into the second floor of Hamilton Hall there on Columbia's campus. And really, they just did a great job of doing it in a organized, orderly manner without incident, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take your calls on this. Phone lines are already lighting up at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 as we see these protests, some of them actually getting handled now. And look, we're all for peaceful protests. We believe in the rule of law in that sense. We really want you out there, you know, peacefully protesting. When it turns to chaos and violence, especially calling for death to a certain group of people, any group of people, we'll stand up against it. That is not the way it should be. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Coming up next, Tulsi Gabbard's going to be back on the broadcast talking about her new book, For Love of Country. And again, a big thank you to all of you who supported us in the month of April during our Life and Liberty Drive. It's just a humongous final day. We couldn't do it without you. Right back with Tulsi.
Mm-hmm. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Seculo, again, Logan Seculo here today with Will Haynes as well, executive producer. I'm very excited. We have on Tulsi Gabbard every week, and it's really always an amazing insight of what's going on in the world. But I got the book right here. Your brand new book is out. I saw it at the stores today. For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. I'm going to show it up. We'll put up full screen. There you go. Tulsi, I'm just going to give you a minute here. Just tell us about this book and why. Obviously, our listeners and viewers have been watching you over the years, but what kind of different insight comes out of this book?
Yeah, thank you so much, Logan. It's great to see you and great to speak to all of your listeners. Really, this book, For Love of Country, really, it came from my decision to leave the Democratic Party and the response that I got from people all across the country who were saying, thank you for having the courage to say what I have been too afraid to say in the society of self-censorship and cancellation and smearing. There are a lot of folks across the country who feel politically homeless, who are frustrated and disheartened by what the Biden-Harris administration, the Democrat elite, are doing to our country, both in domestic policy, everything from the economy to wide open borders with people illegally entering our country every single day, to what's happening with our kids in our schools. And then you look at what's happening around the world with our foreign policy and how in almost every region of the world, we are either at war or on the brink of war, what to speak of the increasing risk of nuclear catastrophe in World War III. So this book will give people some insight into some of the experiences that I had serving in Congress as a Democrat for 8 years under both President Obama and President Trump. Serving as a vice chair of the DNC, what that phone call was like when I was a member of Congress sworn in for about 2 weeks when my phone rang and I was asked to serve as vice chair of the DNC, and my experiences serving at war in different parts of the world, how that shaped my views and changed me as a person. I go into in the book my experiences of being a Democrat running for president in 2020 in that presidential primary, and better than having first row seats, I experienced the collusion between the Democrat elite, the mainstream propaganda media, and big tech, and how they have been and continue to try to undermine our democracy. For Love of Country is really a call to action to people who love our country, who cherish peace and freedom. And it specifically reaches out to those, you know, your listeners. They're listening to you, so they know more about what's going on in the country and the world than many others. But I guarantee you, you have people in your life who are busy. Maybe they're not paying attention. Maybe they don't quite know where they belong politically. This book is for them, to let them know how important it is that we come together as Americans first, regardless of political affiliation, or frankly, how we may agree or disagree on views. If you cherish peace and you cherish freedom, I urge you to read this book, and you may find yourself feeling both disheartened, as I have been, but hopeful in knowing that you're not alone. We, the people, are the only way we save our country, defend our republic, and defend our fundamental freedoms in this upcoming election. So the book just came out yesterday. I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you, your viewers, and your listeners. I have no doubt the New York Times is going to try to ban this book from their bestseller list, so I want to ask for your support. You can order this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or get a signed copy from TulsiGabbard.com.
Obviously, and there's some other, you know, topics going on, but this book I think is very important. As you said, there's a lot of people who feel that political homelessness. I know with a lot of my wife and a lot of her friends, you know, I'm in sort of a group of women typically that are in from their mid-30s or mid-40s, and I feel like they are, especially they're traditionally, you know, maybe conservative Christian women even, and they feel still as moms and dealing with different kind of issues, a bit of that. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to vote. I don't know who to vote for. I don't know what actually represents me. And I like that your book takes that on a bit too, and that your platforms have always done that, which is to speak to people in a way. And you see that. You go to Barnes & Noble, by the way. There was a big display I got to see, which was very cool. So I know Will's got a question, though.
Yeah, you write in the book that you joined the Democrat Party in Hawaii in 2002 because you saw a party that at the time appeared to be the party of the people, a party that valued free speech, welcoming all comers into a big tent where the sharing of diverse opinions and views on issues was encouraged. And then you go on to write that the party you joined over 20 years ago no longer exists today. When did you really start to see the shift in the party that you had joined and the views that you thought it espoused and what it is today?
Well, you know, it happened slowly over time and then a rapid escalation. One of the things that where I started to begin to see the insanity, frankly, was when President Trump got elected. When he won that election in 2016, I was the first Democrat to go and meet with him in Trump Tower. I'm in New York City right now. It's right down the street because I was invited to speak to him about foreign policy. I served on the Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees, and I had the opportunity to speak to the next president of the United States about how we tackle radical Islamist terrorism and defeat it, both kinetically and ideologically. The response from the Democrat elite, my former colleagues in Congress, was surprising. They were angry at me for meeting with Donald Trump because they said, "How dare you humanize this man?" This kind of what we now call Trump derangement syndrome began back then, and it led to this crazy escalation of illogical, irrational policies and thinking that has put us in this very place today where our fundamental freedoms are being threatened. Our democracy is being threatened because they're afraid of losing power and they're afraid of Donald Trump getting reelected because they know that he doesn't care about permanent Washington establishment and that he will do all he can to try to root out that corruption and that rot.
I think that's an interesting point that you bring up because in politics, you'd think historically, the idea of working in a bipartisan way and to meet with a president, regardless of their political party, would be, you know, common sense, would be normal. I mean, we did it. I mean, when we had a pastor who was imprisoned in Iran, set up a meeting with his family and who was the president at the time? Barack Obama. Not because we thought Barack Obama was the greatest president of all time, but in the moment, guess who we needed? We needed the political forces in the White House to go and advocate in that way. But now we live in a world where you can't even have that conversation. But I like that. Look at the back of your book, and obviously there are blurbs from people like Tucker, Pete Hegseth, the local Nashville guy. But then you have Meghan McCain, you've got Joe Rogan, obviously, and it shows that you are doing this actively.
Yeah, there is so much opportunity for us to come together as a country at a time when we are being divided intentionally by those in power, because they know that if we stand together as free people celebrating our freedom in the United States of America, making our own decisions for ourselves, we are the greatest threat to their power. And so we start by having dialogue with each other. We start by understanding that if we come together to defend our freedom, this is how we save our country and begin the tough work of getting our country back on track.
Well, before we wrap up with your segment here, Tulsi, I did just want to give you that another opportunity. Let people know how they can get the book, obviously, wherever books are sold, I'm sure. But it's an important time. You're going to see a lot of political books come out over the next few months. That's just what happens. It's the season of that. But your book stands out. And one, it stands out because the cover art, which I said, I wonder who did this cover art. And I flip through and I go, oh, look who it is. Your husband, which is amazing. He always does an incredible job on all of your work. And we love working with him. But it's important for these kind of books to stand out because you're going to see a lot. But your book is there and it's available now.
It is available now. And thanks for the shout out to my husband. He didn't know that his name was going to be printed in the book as a credit, but he took that picture on the National Mall where you have that circle of flags around the monument there. I also recorded the audiobook. I narrated it myself. So if you're not doing the hardcover book thing, you prefer audiobooks, the audiobook is available as well. Again, I appreciate your support. Even if you are already bought into the mission, consider buying the book because it will send a strong message to the Democrat elite that we stand together and we will not allow them to silence us.
Thank you, Tulsi, so much for joining us again. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Book is available in all stores nationwide. You can obviously get it on whatever platform, or like she said, you get a signed copy direct from her. And I'm going to download the audiobook. I'm an audiobook guy. I'm going to be honest. I'm in the car a lot. I do a lot of carpools, a lot of pickups. So you know what? It'll be great. I'm a podcast listener, so I'm going to get the audiobook as well. I mean, I got the hard copy right here. But thank you, Tulsi, for joining us. Hey, I want to hear from you. We got a lot of guests coming up. 1-800-684-3110. We got a packed show, but that doesn't mean we're not going to hear from you. And again, I have to thank all of you who supported us during that Life and Liberty drive, and specifically the amazing support we had yesterday. It really did our hearts good, to be honest, to see so many of you come out and support. We announced a project. We're gonna find out more about that a little bit later. You know, now we go into development. Now we go into production. It's going to be a road in front of us, but we appreciate that. I'm going to say thank you as many times as I can. Again, pick up Tulsi's book, For Love of Country, right now, available. And then we'll be right back with more guests, more packed show. We're going to continue also talking about those protests that are happening still around the country. We'll be right back on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We're joined by Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs here at the ACLJ. Secretary Pompeo, I did want to just start off because we have been spending the last 2 months doing the Life and Liberty Drive fundraiser for the ACLJ. And I want to say thank you for all of your help during it. And obviously, a thanks to everyone who gave and everyone who supported. But we are seeing right now what's happening on our college campuses. But we saw what happened last night at Columbia. Obviously, the NYPD took action. And I guess that big question is, what took so long?
Look, I think that is an important question. I'm glad it happened when it did. I wish that it happened when the law breaking had begun. There is an enormous wellspring in these universities that is consistent with this understanding of anti-Semitism. So I think, first of all, the administrations were sympathetic to these thugs, to these people who broke the law. Second, I think because you have no national leadership, what you see happening all across the country, that everyone's focused on New York. I get it. Great pictures from Columbia, right, about what was actually going on. But this is now happening all across the country. And you have President Biden sitting in the basement of the White House, not saying a single word about the threat to our democracy. The fact that these folks ran Palestinian flags up the flagpole and took down the American flag. That is a national challenge. With American leadership, national leadership from the White House, I am confident that this would have ended sooner. And then finally, you have to ask, why hasn't President Biden spoken? I think it's pretty clear. He is worried about angering his base. The handful of radical pro-Hamas leftist progressives have now taken control of the Democrat Party. And this will have impact not only at the national level, but all across the country. You can see Democrats cowering because they now believe that they are going to be attacked by these pro-Hamas people who are so far out that I don't even think President Obama would have abided by this. But President Biden has decided hook, line, and sinker to go down that path.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. And it seems like some of these universities, they were caught in a weird spot where they felt like they couldn't shut this down earlier, where maybe they were scared. They didn't know what to do. And honestly, it seems like they went from scared to, how did this happen? Very quickly. They went from, oh, we'll let them set up some tents. This will go away in a day, in 2 days. And then all of a sudden, this is where it ends up with the NYPD having to essentially storm in, arrest hundreds of people, some students. Some of the universities have to wake up to also what's going on their own campuses.
Yeah. Look, I actually think they knew. I think they knew that some of this was their students, but that some of this was being funded, underwritten, organized, trained by outside forces that have been part of protest movements all across the country, bad actors who are truly trying to undermine our very republic. I think they saw that. I think the police forces knew that and were telling them. I saw the NYPD briefing this morning. Clearly, they were aware that this wasn't just a bunch of young kids who'd gotten together at their local club and decided, hey, let's go take over a building. And then they became petrified that the response, if something happened while the law enforcement people were rightfully taking back the property of the University of Columbia, that they would be held accountable for that. That's a mistake. That's the same mistake President Biden is making in Gaza today. Concerned that if the Israelis actually do the task that's needed to do to secure their nation, just like these presidents should have secured their campuses, these are deep parallels. And this is a national challenge that President Biden has to step up and say, we are going to stop terrorists, whether we find them on our college campuses or if the Israelis find them killing 1,000 of their people and still holding Americans hostage. We're going to support the people who are the good people, and we're going to crush evil wherever we find it.
Mr. Secretary, you referenced that NYPD press conference this morning, and they did share a lot of intel, it seemed, that they knew specific people that were there that were outside agitators. But it struck me that Mayor Adams, who he himself was former NYPD commissioner, that he seems to be one of the lone Democrat voices, other than some members of Congress, that are really speaking out about what he's seeing here. And he even said that, I'm going to protect our city from those who are attempting to do what is happening globally. There's a movement to radicalize young people. Do you think he's right in that assessment of what he's seeing?
100%. And sadly, I say this as a sadly, it's pretty courageous for him to say that as a Democrat. Shouldn't be courageous to say something like to acknowledge what's really taking place on our campuses, that this is a national effort underwritten globally. These protests, I am confident, will spread to European campuses as well. We'll probably see it all across the world. For him to say that is good. He found his voice when he talked about putting the American flag back atop that flagpole. I think he found his voice. This is where this shouldn't be partisan. This shouldn't be about politics. This should be about the fundamental right for people to exercise their freedoms. But when they cross the line, when they threaten other students, when colleges have to respond by canceling graduation or closing campuses, and they begin to destroy property and deny the other students their right to get an education, that's no longer about free speech. This is about the rule of law. And for him to step up today and say he supports that is great. I can't wait to see Senator Schumer, President Biden echo those same remarks. I suspect we likely won't.
The Biden administration also, Secretary Pompeo, has started to kind of float the idea that they may want to resettle some of the refugees from Gaza into the United States. Obviously, there's a lot of going to be conflicting thoughts on that, but I wanted to get your thoughts and your reaction to it.
Absolutely nuts. There's a reason that the Jordanians won't allow these people to cross into their country. There's a reason the Egyptians have said, no, thank you. Not a single refugee from Gaza is going to be permitted to come into our country because these people are dangerous and you can't vet them and you can't figure out who just the ordinary families who are trying to flee for a better life are and who the members of Hamas are. And that absence of capacity to vet will be something we can't do either. And so to even contemplate allowing potential terrorists to come into our country is dangerous. It is fraught. By the way, it encourages Hamas to continue their terror because if they can have some of these people leave, that frankly, if some of the families leave, that they'd be happy to do that. They want more people inside of that place who are aligned with them. And if someone decides they want to flee, so be it. Hamas has every intention of coming out of this conflict with Israel, the conflict that they began on October 7th. They think they're going to win because the Biden administration continues to accommodate and appease instead of supporting Israel in its effort to rid this world of these Iranian-supported terrorists.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Secretary Pompeo. And again, thanks to all of you who are watching right now because you get to hear these incredible voices because of your support. And again, right now, it's just me telling you thank you because we had such an amazing couple months, an amazing month of April, during a time when I know the economy could be stronger. We could have a better situation happening around the world. You guys show up when needed the most, whether that's brand new ACLJ champions, which I think we had over 100 brand new champions yesterday. Those are people that are saying, I will give a monthly support. I'll give on a recurring basis. Again, I just wanted to say thank you. As we head into this second half hour, make sure you don't lose us. If you are on social media, you're good to go. So if you're watching us on Facebook or on X, or if you're watching us on YouTube or our favorite Rumble, our the free speech platform, if you're on any of those, you're good. You get the full hour right here. If you're on local radio, some of your radio stations don't carry the full hour. Some do. Join us live. We broadcast this show each and every day. Maybe you're hearing us later on taped at aclj.org. You can find us broadcasting live each and every day at noon Eastern time. As more and more people want live coverage, I encourage you to watch us live. Do it every day if you can. We'll give you these great, great information from people like Tulsi Gabbard, Secretary Pompeo. And coming up the second half hour, we're going to talk to the head of our office in Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, about the situations obviously unfolding in Israel and the ICC and the arrest warrants that are potentially going to be issued for Benjamin Netanyahu. We're going to talk about that coming up in the second half hour. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This break is less than a minute, so you really have no excuse to leave. So hang out with us. During that 1 minute, though, if you're watching on YouTube or on Rumble, tell me where you're watching from. I always like that. I like to read, see how worldwide we reach. It's really amazing. Then you all can see what your work does. When you support the work of the ACLJ, you get to see the reach of it. Put it in the comments. I'm going to read all of them. We'll be back in less than a minute on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.